Okay, we on? Okay, so this is Parashas Shlach. Parashas Shlach, we have the Maisa, the incident with the Mekoshesh Eitzim, towards the end of the Parasha. Right before, in the last Aliyah. They found somebody doing a malacha on Shabbos. What malacha? Mekoshesh Eitzim. What malacha is that? What do you say?
Gathering wood.
So three opinions in the Gemara exactly what he was doing. One, gathering, meaning ma'amer, is a malacha ma'amer, to gather together things that grew from the ground and are been harvested, gather and pile them together, or tie them together. It's ma'amer. Another opinion was he was actually being tolish. He was taking them off of the from where they were growing, detaching them from the ground. And the third opinion was he's carrying from rishus to rishus, or carrying dalet amos rishus to rabbim. So three opinions in the Gemara. In any case, he did a malacha de oraisa, and it says vayanichosa b'mishmar. They brought him. You know, they ate him, turned him in to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they put him in jail. Kilo porash me'yayosa. They didn't know what to do with him. Now, Rashi says there that they knew that the punishment for Mechal Shabbos is misa, but they didn't know which kind of misa. There were four misas based in Skila, Strefa, Herig, and Chenek, and they didn't know which one. And then the Kodesh Baruch Hu came down and said, Skila.
So, weren't they supposed to give him a warning first?
I'm sure they did. And then he said, I don't care. Go do what you want. I'm doing my thing, you do your thing. Yeah, I'm sure they did give him a warning. Oh. So, that's what it says. He's Mechal Shabbos. Now, how to come about Mechal Shabbos in the Midbar, the Dardea, the Zokt, there are two places in Chazal that I know of, that I've seen, where it says that he did L'Shem Shamayim. Tosis in Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Yud Tes, brings a medrash, which I believe it's found in the Yalkut Shimoni on this parasha, that the reason why this person did it, by the way, who was this person? There's a very good machlokas in the Gemara between Rabbi Kiva and Tarfon. I think Rabbi Kiva says he was Slavchad. Slavchad, who we find later, had five, who died of Inu Meis Vamidbar, left over five daughters, right? And they came before Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, he had no sons, so give us the Nachla. And we say, oh, we're not sons and we don't get Nachla, so then our mother should be able to remarry, without Yibum, you know, either one way or the other. Rabbi Kiva says that this man was Tzlachot. Okay. In any case, the Tosfos says, from the Medrash, that the reason why he did it was he was afraid that if the Klal Yisrael just suffered this devastating blow, said, Bamidbar hazeh yitamu v'sham yimuzu, all you people who are in part of this generation, who listen to the Meraglim, come back with their false negative report, and you accepted it, and you cried, but and you said, why'd you take us out of Mitzrayim? We got to go back to Mitzrayim. This is ridiculous. We never can go to this place, etc., etc. And they didn't listen to, they didn't accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them that it'll be just fine, and Yeshua HaKalev reiterating it, and they did, but rather they accepted the Lashon Hara of the Meraglim, and they protested. So that's it. They're not going to enter Eretz Yisrael. You don't want Eretz Yisrael, so you won't get it. Bamidbar hazeh yitamu. They're going to die out of the Midbar. They're not going to go to Eretz Yisrael. So Tzavcha was afraid. Aha, so people are going to say, so what's the whole Torah about? Why do we get all this Torah and all these mitzvahs? Because we're going to go into a very special land. We're going to go into Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you have to live a different lifestyle. And there's Taryag mitzvahs. But now we're not going in, so forget it. We can spend the rest of our lives, whether it's going to be 1 year or 39 years, however much, they would live out in the Midbar till they die. No Torah, no Shabbos, no Kashrus, no Tefillin. Mitzvahs and no gain in Eretz Yisrael. We're just practicing now. We're doing it in the Midbar. We're just practicing, to do it in Eretz Yisrael. But not going to Eretz Yisrael, it's no point in it. So it's left from wanting to show people now that's not correct, totally incorrect. The mitzvahs are just as no gain now as they ever were. And if a person violates one of the commandments, he will suffer. And he said, I'll be Mechal Shabbos, two Edom, and let them warn me, and I'll shrug my shoulders at them, and they'll kill me, and everybody will see that Hashem still means business. And the Torah applies even now. So that's why he did it. That's why he stayed in Tosis, B'Shem the Medrash. So it's about Basim, Kufi Tess, take a look.
Was it a less harmful way they get that message across?
yeah, well, so some I can't remember where I saw it. Someone wants to say, he davka had to do it in Shabbos because, like this, do we tell a person chatei kedei sheyizcha chavercha? Do we ever tell a person you do a chet so somebody else should benefit from it? We never should do that. But in Shabbos, sometimes we do. We find there's a halacha shulchan aruch that I know Tosfos sounds strange. You'll see in a minute. But if a person's daughter is Rahman's son being was like taken away by people who are not, they're not going to kill her or anything, but she's going to be brought up without Torah mitzvah, she's going to be brought up as a guy. So if he just, let's say, and it's Shabbos though, he found it in Shabbos, and to go try to save her, it'd have to be Machal Shabbos, at least go out of the Tchum. So he's saying, I don't think I could do it. It's not Pikuach Nefesh, is it? They're not going to try to kill her, they're just going to have a different lifestyle. So it says, nope, it's Tzarech Lassum Vaderech Pa'amav. He's supposed to go, and even if it's Valchel Shabbos, to go and save her. So by Shabbos, we find he's just saving her Ruchnius. Like when we say, like, who in the world would think otherwise, right? You know, so they're taking away to Shmazach's daughter, that she's not going to. So that's Taka the Din. But like, this is like, you know, it's brought almost like a Chiddush that. Then he should do it. Because on Shabbos, sometimes you have to be Machal Shabbos, mutav to be Machal one Shabbos, k'tei sheikaimu Shabbos is harbe. That's a phrase like that, right? That's why you Machal Shabbos, I shouldn't say that's why, but that's used also to explain the idea of being Machal Shabbos to save a person who is physically, if a person was sakonas nefashas, he's sick on Shabbos, or he is injured on Shabbos and he needs, you have to Michal Shabbos to save his life. It says better to Michal on Shabbos, and so hopefully he'll keep many Shabbos. Of course, the other thing is, even if he can't keep, even if you're just saving him Chai Yishai, he's supposed to do it. But in any case, so that's something, that's why he did it by Shabbos Dafka. Although he felt he didn't have a right to do it anywhere else. By Shabbos, he can do it in order to be benefit other people. That's what some say. But the next Chazal is even more, to me, even more. I think your question, Rabbi, is even more. The other Chazal is a Targum Yonasan ben Uziel. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says on this parasha, take a look, that why did Slavcha do what he did? He did it because it wasn't determined yet. It wasn't explained, or it wasn't determined what's the onus for Chol Shabbos. Meaning, we know it's Misa, like I said, but which onus we know? So he wanted to be Mavar that halacha. He wanted to bring that out. So he says, well, I'll do it, and we'll once and for all, we'll get it. Moshe Rabbeinu will have to get it straight. So like that, what does that mean? To give up his life to get killed so that it'll be, the halacha will be clarified, how you kill a Machal Shabbos. That sounds like even more Mechudosh, right? Like, says, you know, maybe you could have like had a, you know, made a shear and said, Moshe, let's have a shear, let's work on this. Anyway, that's what Targum Yonasan says. He gave up his life so that it, you know, said he should be killed for Chol Shabbos, so that it would be kavur in the Torah how you kill a person for Chol Shabbos. Okay, so in either case, Frek the Marsha there in Baba Basra and Daf Kuf Yates, Frek the Marsha was saying he was a good guy, right? He was a tzaddik. I mean, he was willing to give his life to, but is he allowed to do that? Was he even, after all said and done, he says, Shabbos, but is a person allowed to give up his life in order to do that, to teach people? So where do we find such a thing that you could, that's not how he asked. I take it back, that's not how he asked, because that kash is not going to be answered by the Marshal's Teretz. His kash is, was he allowed to be Machal Shabbos? Are you allowed to do that? Yeah, sometimes we find, but are you? What is it mutter to be doing malacha on Shabbos b'mezid with Edom and Asra in order to teach people that Hashem means business? So Zok the Marsha, he really wasn't Machal Shabbos. Startling, he was not Machal Shabbos. Why not? Because what he did was a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. In order to be Machal Shabbos, you have to do it malachas machshavos, right? And one of the things is malacha hatzricha legufa, which the way Tosis learns, Tosis in Masechta Shabbos, that Sadi Dalet, says that means for the purpose that it was done in the Mishkan. If you're being tolesh, let's say tolesh, right? He was detaching things from the ground. You have to do it in order to use the things like they did in the Mishkan. They would tolesh various things, you know, they cut off a grain to use it for karbanos. And you have to do it for the purpose they did in the Mishkan, for a useful purpose. If you're just being you have to carry something from Amr Shus to another, or Dalar Amas, to use it in the place that you're carrying it to, or Ma'amer, in order to continue the process of using the stuff. If you're doing it just so that, to do it so that you should get killed, then that's not a Vachachich Lagufa. You didn't do it to use the stuff. You did it for a totally alternative purpose. And even Quentin Rashi said also, it's a malacha shein tzrich legufa. So he didn't do an aveira. And I say, well, malacha legufa is mutter min haTorah, but, and well, at least it's machlokes tanam, right? Machlokes tanam. Rabbi Yehuda holds malacha shein tzrich legufa is chayav. So we'll have to say Tzlavcha didn't hold like Rabbi Yehuda. he held like Rabbi Shimon. Oh, but even Rabbi Shimon says it's awesome, it's mutter min haTorah, but it's awesome in the Rabbanan. But was the Rabbanan around yet? Was there a Rabbanan decree yet? This was before the Rabbanan made the this is the quote I saw in Rabbi Franz say from the parsha that he has in that the Rabbanan wasn't decreed yet.
Could a person get hayamita for breaking Rabbanan?
Oh yeah, no, you can't.
So,
all right, you can ask a better question. I said that the Rabbanan didn't even exist yet.
Okay, but let's say that they did exist.
Okay, but let's say it didn't. Ask a stronger question. If it didn't exist, could a person be chayav misa for not being mechallel Shabbos? So we're saying now, great question. We're saying he really was a mechallel Shabbos. If he took the mashal, he was a mechallel Shabbos, he wouldn't be allowed to mechallel Shabbos. Oh, he wasn't. It was a malacha shein tzrich legufa. So then the kasha is, so then how were they able to kill him? It's sort of self-defeating. So you know who asked that kasha? The mashal. Show himself. Next line of Marsha says, oh, it's a malach shein tzrich legufa, so it really wasn't the chol Shabbos. So how are they allowed, why'd they kill him? How could they kill him? So what do you think?
He poskim in Rabbi Yehuda.
Well, no, but then back to the original question, how was he allowed to do it? If I was Rabbi Yehuda, he shouldn't have been allowed to do it. So after the Marsha, he wasn't at this shir. Not really. No, that's not a good way of saying it. And for the Marashah, the Edom didn't know that he wasn't doing it. He was Zayn Shrich Lagufa. The Edom see him Ma'amer or carrying or Tolish, and they say, stop, you're doing that, presumably you're using it, Chayav Misa. And he said, I don't care. I'm going to go. Afal Pikein. The Edom didn't know that he wasn't going to use it. They didn't know that it was just for whatever. So they gave him Hasra. It was Dvar Mishim Alev. It was Dvar Mishim Alev. In his, he's doing something which looks like most people when they're Ma'amer or Tolesh, they're doing it for a purpose. So the appearance was that it was a Tzrich Legufa, and the base didn't know. So they.
But Hashem ultimately decrees that he should be killed. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I know Hashem knows the intention and the purpose of everything behind. All this discussion is futile.
Kabbalik! Well, up to that last line, I like your question.
You know what I mean? Because there's the bottom line.
Yes. So you know who asked your question? Who you mechaven to? Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman. Zayfrek Elchanan Wasserman. Hashem Vayomer Hashem Al Moshe. Mos Yumasa Ish. Hashem said he should die. Hashem knows. Was in his heart?
Yes.
Okay, that's your question. Good question. Chanan Wasserman asked that question. So, what's the answer to that question? To defend the Marsha, to work with the Marsha's pshat still. How can we answer that question? Gvaldig. So who says that? Rabbi Yosef Engel. Zakt Rabbi Yosef Engel. Rabbi Yosef Engel brought in Rabbi Franz Sefer, he has a discussion about this on this parasha. You know, he has a Sefer parasha Malacha. So usually I don't do his topics, or even if I do, you know, should I do my own, or even if I do, it's not. But this topic, I think, is close and not close. He has a topic. He has a share Malacha Shesugufa. We're going to go in a different direction after this. But he brings down from Rabbi Yosef Engel that he says that Labu Shemaimi in Chanami Hashem knew. But Hashem doesn't mix in. Hashem just had to be mevarer the loch of which misa wasn't given yet. At that point, he was still giving. That was part of Torah. He had to give. But the part of Torah that he gave, that he said, you know, you have to aid them, they want to give him asra, and then kill him, and you don't, you go by what it seems, you don't start looking into the guy's heart, maybe he meant something else, maybe. So Hashem says, okay, that I'm not mixing into. Lo b'shamayim, right? What's up? I gave it to Bnei Yodim. I just have the part that I didn't give them, so I'll give them now. Skila. That's what I said. Most of you might say, you should give them skila, because I'd never told them that yet. But everything else, I told them already. So in the mail, I'm not going to spill the beans. That's what Malchus Shem That's what Rabbi Segal says to answer the Rabbi Chanan's kasha on the Marsha to defend the Marsha.
That's a riot that it was done Hashem Shemayim. Because he didn't tie it back and say it was Marshem Tzvi, right? He could have tied it back and said, I didn't do anything, you didn't see me do anything, right? I never did my sin. Right.
But that would have defeated the whole purpose.
Right, that would defeat the purpose. Right. So that could be a riot that it was the same Shemayim that he didn't tie that back. Because he had a defense that he didn't use.
Okay, I mean, maybe he was doing, maybe he just wanted the things. This doesn't prove that he didn't want them. But saying he didn't want them, but he did it for them. Maybe Dagon wanted them. Maybe he was going to build himself a sukkah. but you're saying that stims with the right. Fact that he was only Shem Shemayim is that he
didn't say
he
didn't have any.
Okay, so we have according to Marsha, Pslavcha did a malacha shem tzvi for the gufa, and really Taka had the truth been evident, he would never have been killed. But he was Bedavka, he did it the way he did it, so he should be killed because he wanted to. So he didn't do a very. He was not Machal Shabbos, but he got himself killed for. But look, the Chal Shabbos. So you see, you're killed for the Adam figure Machal Shabbos. So you see that the person is still killed for Chal Shabbos. So he's still killed for Chal Shabbos. And they thought he was Machal Shabbos, and they thought they killed him. Okay. That's not fun. Okay. Now, there's a tshuva in the Sefer, Shas Shuvah's Torah Lishma. Who wrote Torah Lishma? So it was actually written Lishma. It was written anonymously. It really was. I mean, it was written with every tshuva is signed by Yechezkel Kachli. Who's Yechezkel Kachli? So the truth is, it is the firm belief of many that, and this is the assumption, this is the way we, that the Sefer was written by the Ben Ish Chai, the one who wrote the Ben Ish Chai, wrote Shas and Tshuvas. Rav Pa'olim, and he wrote Sefer Ben Ish Chai, and he wrote many svarim. But he wrote it, Taka. I guess he figured, like, he's so famous, he has so many svarim, everybody knows, let me do one Sefer Lishma. So he called the Torah, Sefer Shal Lishma, and he didn't sign his name on it. He signed every tshuva, Yosef Kachli. I think there's a remnant to what Kachli is. Yosef Kachli. I forget that. But they say it's the, in fact, I have a copy of the Sefer. It's in the Spanish. Has his picture. They put now. You know, they published the Sefer. They put his picture. Mm-hmm. He didn't put his picture there. They put his picture there, and they say it's by him. In any case, so the shaila is this is in Simin Kuf Chaf Gimel. A shaila like this. Fascinating case. There was a guy who was traveling. He lived when did he live? He lived in the latter part of the 1800s, earlier part of the 1900s. Right. My wife recently read his biography, and she gave me some.
Ben Ish Chai, yeah.
Passed away in 1909. 1909, okay, there
we
go. Thank you. In Baghdad? Yeah. So there's a person around, it seems it was presented to him in his time. The guy was traveling, and he came to place, spend Shabbos, and it was freezing cold, and very windy, and the place where he first settled, it was like a sort of, I don't know, some sort of lodging place, but it was not very well protected it, from the wind or from the cold. It was very open, and he was a sickly person, and he mamash couldn't take it. But there was then a little further in, I think in the same place, there was a room that he can go into, and that room was closed on all four sides, and I don't know if it was heated, but at least he was protected. The wind, you know, was blocked and much more livable. So he went to that room. Everything's great. But then a couple of nachrim entered the room, also looking for a place to spend the night. Not spend Shabbos, but spend the night. And he knew, or he realized, or whatever, that these people were not very were not very friendly characters. Were not, certainly not to Yehudim. They were not, and he was very afraid that, he wasn't afraid of his life, he was just afraid if they realized that he's a Yehudi, they're going to throw him out, basically. Throw him back out into the street. He wasn't afraid. It wasn't Sakonis Nefashis, but he was just afraid that he was that they weren't going to spend the night in the same room with him if they realized who he was, what we know his religion, they were going to oust him. So you have to think quick. What does he do to conceal his identity? So he decided he's going to light a candle. It's Friday night, Shabbos. Light a candle. Now, they know Jews don't light candles on Shabbos. They see him light a candle, they will never endure on them that he's Jewish. And we'll leave him alone. So that's what he did. He lit a candle. Okay, presumably he needs to read or to, you know, whatever. He lit a candle, and he was, they left him alone. They didn't, you know. But afterwards, the Shalai was presented to the Ben Ishchai that, like, was that okay? And if it wasn't okay, how bad was it? And tshuva, you know, what is he, what do you make of this? Rabbeinu Yosef Chaim Ben Ishchai, what do you make of this? So the Ben Ishchai said that he quotes a Marsha in Baba Basra that we just learned, Kupites by Tzlefchad. Malchus Rabbein says, so this too, so Malchus Shem Tzirch Legufa. He didn't need the light or any warmth that it would provide or anything like that. In fact, he says the light bothered, even disturbed him. He wanted to sleep. If anything, the light was negative. But he certainly didn't need the light. He didn't want the light. Or at least he lit it. He needed to do a ma'isa malacha so that people should think what they should think. Just like Tzlefchad, he needed to do a ma'isa malacha so people should, you know, see him as being Mechal Shabbos and kill him so that he could teach a lesson. So that he didn't do it for the purpose of the Mishkan to have the stuff. So he too, he didn't do it for the purpose of Mishkan. The purpose of Mishkan when they lit the fire was to use the flame for whatever the purposes were in the Mishkan, not to light it so that people should say, oh, he's not a Jew. That's Malach Hashem Tzvich Lagufa, he says, according to every pshat, according to Rashi, according to Tosis. And then Mela, okay, but he says still, according to Rehuda, you don't get very far at all. So Malach Hashem Tzvich Lagufa, he's still chayav. Okay, no, according to Rav Shimon, the Shulchan Aruch seems to pass like Rav Shimon, not like the Rambam pass like Rehuda. The Shulchan Aruch seems to go with the Rav Shimon Shita, that is Pater. But even so, he says, he had no right to do that. It wasn't Pikuach Nefesh. He wasn't going to die, even if they had, you know, sent him out to the cold. He wasn't going to die from the cold. It wasn't like, he wasn't Siberia that you know, with no protection from the cold. He was just, it was windy, it was bothering, and he was, so he says he had no right to do it. He had no right to do it. And whatever, I forget if he says what Kaparta, but interesting, he says, it's Malach Hashem, and L'chor makes a lot of sense. So Malach Hashem Tzvich L'gufa. Now, so I'm not going to take a turn here and say, well, maybe he should be allowed to do it. If it's Malach Hashem Tzvich L'gufa, let's say it wasn't even Pekuch Nefesh, but being out there, he obviously was, you know, it says he was a sickly guy, and it was very cold and windy. L'charetz, at least this, you know, major tsar, and maybe some degree of choli. I mean, Mustafa, he can get sick, if not you know, deadly sick, but at least sick. So, the Shulchan Aruch paskins in Siman Shin Chav Ches Sif Yud Zayin that you're allowed to do a derabanan, at least with a shinui, you're allowed to do a derabanan for a chol l'shein bo sakana. Chol l'shein bo sakana is what we're learning Shabbos morning. You know, before davening, that Chal Shem Besakon, you're allowed to do a Malach HaDerabanan. At least the Shein. The Mishnah Berurah makes the Chayyad, and if you can't do it with the Shein, if it's not feasible with the Shein, you can even without the Shein, you can do it. You can do it then. Some other Rishonim hold, you could, you know, L'chadchili, you can do it without the Shein. But we Paskin, you have to do a Shein, if possible, but if it's not possible, the Mishnah Berurah Paskin says you can do it without the Shein. So maybe it wasn't so bad. Maybe it wasn't so bad. I mean,
So how is
Mavir
ever downgraded to a
Rabbanan? Oh, because it's a Malach Shem Tzvich
L'gufa.
It's a Malach Shem Tzvich L'gufa.
Since
I was
downgraded.
Yeah, sorry, I should have spoken. Because going to Rosh Hashanah, it's a Malach Shem Tzvich L'gufa, and we pass Rosh Hashanah. So could you do, is that included? Could you do a Malach Shem Tzvich L'gufa in order to, for a Chola? So, let me just think, someone think of one Nakuda first before I go, continue. He says, we actually find there's a Mishnah which we say those who say by Mem Madlikin, Davin Ashkenaz, there's a Mishnah that talks about Hamechabes Haner, They listen, they ruchra, obishvel achol shish and potter. On the sugya of that Gemara there, Gemara brings a brisa that says, if a person is mechaba a ner for a chola she'ein bo sakana, so that he could sleep, chola she'ein bo sakana, it's potter ablasar. That's what it says. And the Gemara says, it's going contra Rabbi Shimon, who holds machshet tzichel gufa, because he put it out, not because in the Mishkan, when they put out a flame, it was to make a pechon. He put it out to get rid of the flame. Machshet tzichel gufa. And it's going because Rabbi Shimon, the Malach HaShem Tzergufa is only Asim Midi Rabbanim. But it says it's Asim. So Frecht, the Pnei Yeshua, and some other Achashar Melech, and some other Achronim, the Prima Gadim talks about, why is it Asir? If it's only Durabanan, so it's, we're talking about it for a Chola, Chola Shem Basakana, why is it you're allowed to do Durabanan? At least with a Shino, without, you know, if you can't do Shino without a Shino, but why is she, why, let, so he didn't use a shinui. I mean, still, he wouldn't be chayif. I mean, certainly some are show. I mean, the truth is, I have to say, the truth is, they ask on the Rambam. The Rambam paskins, you don't even need a shinui. The Rambam, at least one place says, you're allowed to block the Rabbanon for a chol Hashem Zekana without a shinui. So they really ask on the Rambam. Why is he according to the Rambam? Why is the Brisa say Pater Avalasa? Should be Pater. It's the Pnei Shua's Kasha. Pnei Shua, 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 Pnei. So, I want to add to the kasha. We find that you are allowed to do malach, you know, malach hashem tzrich v'gufa. But well, before I make myself just one mistake, you could answer, and I think some do answer. The Prima Gadim does answer that, and I think the Shar Melech answers malach hashem tzrich v'gufa is more chamer than a regular drach. It might be a drabanan. But it's a Durabanan which is so close to a Duraisa. It's the same act. The same act of putting out the flame. If you did it for this purpose, it's Pater. If you did it for this, it's Chayav, right? The same act could be Chayav or Pater. So so even if you do it in a way that it's Pater, but they didn't allow you to do that for a Chola. They only allowed you something which is inherently Durabanan. If you need to climb up a tree to get down some sort of something that's medicinal, you know, there's a medicine in the tree, and or you need to ride a boat, take a boat, or you need to do a malacha Durabanan to help the chol, that you could do. But if you need to do something which is be'etzem a deraisa, just that you're doing it, a tree chalugufa, that makes it Durabanan, that's mochamer, and you can't do it even for a chol. Chol Hashem is
better.
Because it's so close to a deraisa. And people could easily make a mistake. The Chazal didn't want to allow that because now you're doing it for... You, next time you see, last time there was a chola, Shem was a chola, we put out the candle. So you might think that even if you need to do the malacha for the tzarech of the Mishkan, you can do it. So what?
It takes us back to Slavcha.
It's Slavcha, why? Yeah.
But... Again, it was close to it, so therefore it was Daraisa, it was Chaimisa. Because what he did was close to the actual...
No, but Melach Shetzer, when Shimon holds Melach Shetzer against Pater, no one's going to... If you did it for the Chol, you're still going to be Pater. They just didn't allow it. They didn't allow you to go to Lechatchila. But still Pater. You're still Pater. Slavcha is still okay. Right? He's still Pater. And especially if you're saying, there was no Darabanas even then. So he was still Mutter. You say maybe he shouldn't have done it. Maybe. I don't know. Just because we find you don't give a chol, but this is the whole Kali Yisrael. He was saving the whole Kali Yisrael from doing a virus. I don't know. Maybe look, if he asked...
So the one who lit the fire, right? So in that Maisa. So yeah. Again, that's close to the...
He did Malach Shetzer
L'Gufa.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so...
But I'm saying that's Malach Shetzer L'Gufa, that's very close to the Isser itself.
Right, so he definitely shouldn't have done it. But still Potter. We're just saying we're not going to allow it. Chazal aren't going to allow it. Go ahead and do it. Achola, go ahead and do it. No, we're not going to do it because if you allow you to do it, you might come to the derises also. But it's still Potter. Nobody's saying it's not. But at the end of the day, it's still Malach Shetzer L'Gufa. Okay, so... So the kasha though, even if you say it's more chamer, but we do find there are some cases where you're allowed to do malach shetzer l'gufa to alleviate tsar. For example, a famous case in Masechta Shabbos, Mappas Mursa, a guy has a boil, and it's pussy, and he wants to let out the pus. So that's only if you just open it up enough to let out the pus, but you're not mechavan to make an opening which will remain and let in air and let out pus and let in air. So it's only the rabban. It's a malchus shein tzricha legufa. So it says it's mutter. It's mutter when the guy because he has his bitzar. He's suffering. This is a painful boil. It's painful. So he's allowed to do it. So they ask, you are allowed to do malchus even a malchus shein tzricha legufa. You're allowed to do. Or it says also a couple of other cases, but you're allowed to kill an animal which is a mazik, not deadly. It's not deadly, but if it's dangerous, if it bites, it's a painful bite, like a non-poisonous snake. Or say you're allowed to kill it on Shabbat or trap it. Why? Because you're not trapping it to use it. You're not killing it because you want to use the hide. You're killing it to get rid of it. That's a classical malacha shein tzricha legufa. It says it's mutter to avoid tzar. So they ask Hashem. They say, "See, so a chola can't do it, but makom tzar, you could do it. What's the difference between the two of those things?" So just bekitzer, the Sefer Magen Avos answers that for a chola, the reason why they didn't allow it is because if a chola would be yesh bo sakana, right? There's such a thing called chola yesh bo sakana, then it's mutter to do anything, right? Chola yesh bo sakana, you can violate the whole Torah to save his life, right? So since there's such a big heter by a chol already, yesh basakana, they were afraid that if they're going to be matted too much for embo sakana, people are, it's going to get blurred and people aren't going to realize. So they said, we have to be very careful by chol she embo sakana, and they said, we have to aser something again, which is a malach shein tzricha legufa, which is a chomer d'rabban, close to the raisa. We have to aser that. Because if we're going to be matted that for a chole, people are going to think, oh, so maybe even by Embo Sakana, you're allowed to do the Raisa Mamish, just like you are by Yesh Basakana. By Makom Tsar, that's already a different gedder. Tsar is not a chole. Tsar, they saw that. This is the Magen Avos. Tsar, they saw something different. For Makom Tsar, that's not going to lead. That's not going to lead to the same confusion. But if you can matter it for a chole, he's not a Makom Tsar. He's a chole, an actual chole. Then we're afraid that's going to, you know, if you're going to be matter to do a Malchus Tzar Legufa, the next thing people are going to be doing the Raisa Mamish. Like they do for a chol she'yesh bo sakana. So therefore they have to draw a line. That's what the Magen Avos said. Okay. So now, but I want to give you another case though, like this. The Beis Yosef brings a halacha that says if a person that has a ruach ra, so and it says that during the week, what's his refuah for him? What's going to heal him? If a woman who's lactating, a nursing mother, would spray some milk directly from her body onto the face of this man, that'll cure his ruach ra. So, could you do it on Shabbos? So they said no. Expressing milk on Shabbos is a malacha d'oraisa. It's mefarik. Expressing, you know, remove the milk from the guf. She's allowed to nurse a baby. But a woman's not allowed to express milk into a bottle and then feed it to the baby, assuming the baby, you know, could nurse from her directly. He's not sick, she's not sick. No reason why he can't nurse directly, but she said, I'd rather give him a bottle. I want to go to sleep. Here, I'll fill a bottle and give it to the baby. I'll go to sleep. It's a deraisa, right? It's also a deraisa for a woman to express milk. Sometimes the mater, if the baby can't nurse and he can't take formula, then the mater. If he could take formula, ask your local Orthodox rabbi if it's okay to still express milk. She's definitely not a nurse, even if they take formula. Question is, he could take formula, but I don't want to give him formula. I don't give my baby formula. I nurse my baby. Now he can't nurse because, whatever, he's sick, or the woman's sick. So the doctor says, don't nurse him directly. Your milk is okay, but don't let him get too close to you. So she wants to express the milk into a bottle. Could she do that instead of formula? So I say, yes, that's not tonight's shear, so ask your rabbi. But let's say for sure he can't take formula. Baby can't take formula. The baby does not. He's allergic to it. He doesn't take formula. So then if he can't nurse directly, she's allowed to express the milk. But if he could nurse directly, it's also midraisa. It's also midraisa to express the milk. So says the Beis Yosef, this guy who has ruchra, says the Beis Yosef, she's not allowed to express milk to spray onto his face. Why? Because it's not pikuach nefesh, he says, and it's not even a lot of tsar. He's not even a lot of tsar. So, and if he would be, I say if it's pikuach nefesh, I understand. She'd be allowed to do it. So, yes, it's not pikuach. But why does he have to say it's not allowed at tsar? Let's say it would be. Since when, if you'd be allowed tsar, you'd be allowed to do it? So, you might say, well, Yeah, yeah, it's a deraisa, right? It's a deraisa, right? Melacha deraisa. How can you, so he's in tsar? So you can't do a melacha deraisa if a guy's in tsar. I know, he's got ruach ra. I don't know. It sounds pretty tsar. He's probably walking around the saying crazy things and doing crazy, I don't know. He's possessed by some sort of whatever. Unhuman, you know, unnatural thing. But it says he's not a lot of tsar. Not a lot of tsar. Okay, I don't know. That's what it says. That's basically what it says. But again, Frek the Magen Avraham, right? Great kasha, right? Why do you have to say it's not a lot of tsar? And if it was a balatzi, allowed to the deraisa? So it's like the Magen Avraham, yeah, it's not a deraisa. It's a malacha shein tzricha legufa, says the Magen Avraham. It's a malacha shein tzricha legufa. You're not feeding the milk to a baby or whatever, you're giving it to someone else. You're using it. It's going li'ibud.
Consider it
a
refuah also?
It's for this guy, it's a refuah, yeah. So what are you saying?
That,
what?
Wouldn't that be in...
You're saying it should still be asr?
No, I'm saying from refuah, wouldn't but, it be a soul from a refuah?
You mean the isr of refuah? It could be his condition was serious enough, though, that would allow refuah. It could be he has in like a mechola that's allowed to do refuah, maybe. If it could be, he's like, refuah, probably, I think so. But the Magen Avraham says it's Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Why is Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa? Because presumably it means because you're not drinking the milk. But at least four Achronim jump on this Magen Avraham, the Shuas Yaakov, the Tosef Shabbos, the Tzil Adav, the Shuas Shabbos. Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, why? You're using the milk. You're not feeding to a baby, but you're using it for, you need it for this purpose, it's the refuah for this man. You need it to spritz on this man's face. And that's what heals him. And refuah is not called Ein Tzrich L'Gufa. If you do a malacha for refuah, that's not called Ein Tzrich L'Gufa. That's Tzrich L'Gufa. You're using it. It has to be to eat. It's not to be eat. It has to be you use. You're using it. It's not just stam going li'ibud. It's not like...
That was in the intended use. That's not, from the woman perspective, that's not the normative of how she uses and expresses her milk. So therefore, wasn't the intended normative type, and therefore,
maybe. So you're saying maybe Tzrich L'Gufa has to be the... A more normal, typical use, but let's say. Well, so before we get back, let us say there's another case that Chonim, based on this Magen Avraham, says the Sefer Tal Oros, earlier. I know how early, but I mean he's not a contemporary for sure. Not the Kaf Chaim quotes him. He says that he talks about a case where a man has an earache, and he was told that his refuah would be some milk directly from a woman's. Lactating mother to drip milk directly into his ear that will heal his ear, cure his ear. So says Dalaris, according to Magen Avraham, it's mutter. It's malacha shein tzrich l'gufa. So your explanation work for that too? But that's mamash refuah. I mean, it's refuah. The Tehillah David says refuah is called tzrich l'gufa. He says if you carry something from one place to another to use it for refuah, you're machai. He says machai. It's a gemara. Or if you the whole gzeira of refuah, you mentioned gzeira against refuah, right? Why is it gzeira against refuah? So people shouldn't come to grind. Well, obviously, if you grind it, it must be that you'd be chai for grinding it for refuah. Otherwise, why'd they make a gzeira? So you see, you do a malacha to use a refuah. It doesn't have to be, normally you grind besamim to use them for food or something. You don't grind for refuah, but refuah is also.
I mean, there's tsar involved, so then that's one of the matters of by refuah. It's a certain level of tsar.
Yeah, but only if it's not the raisa. So it has to become malach shein tzrich l'gufa. So we're asking, well, why is it ein tzrich l'gufa? That's what we're asking. So the Tehillah David says, maybe because it's not a normal refuah even. It's something schooladik. You know, spritz milk, and he has ruach ra, and now he's a new man. He says, oh, thank you very much. And now he's a normal guy. He's back in the basement learning 24/7. It's not a normal type of thing. It's schooladik. So schooladik, maybe that's called malach shein tzrich l'gufa. If you're only using it for a schooladik azach, not for a normal refuah yet. So it says the Shvi Sabbos. Okay, fine. So that'll explain the case of the ruach ra. But it's not. But then the Tal Oros, his case was a normal refuah. The guy had an earache. And the doctor said, and I don't think it's, you know, the doctor said, this will be merapi, the milk directly coming from the goof into his ear will merapi the ear. So Zag the Shish Shabbos, even if I'll accept the Tehillah David, fine, but it's not going to work for the Tal Oros. It will explain the Magen Avraham, but it will not explain the Tal Oros. That will be considered Tzrich L'Gufa, and you will not be allowed to do that. So let me just go to some more things. What about on this? I mean, maybe you could say, maybe you could say the pshat why it's going back and from. It's because in Nechami, it's doing something, but then it's like it's really going to Ibud. It's really going on the way to go to Ibud. You normally the baby drinks it and the baby drinks it. It doesn't get wasted. Here it's getting wasted. On the way of getting wasted, it's accomplishing something. But so because Rosh Hashanah Zamar says. He talks about, let's say a person needs an injection on Shabbos. Let's say an injection, it's not going into a vein, not going to draw any blood, so, and he's a chola enough that, not sakana, but ain't bo sakana, but he needs his injection. So the rab says, yeah, you'll have to get this injection because it's not drawing blood. Chol shem b'sakana, you'll have to get this injection. But what do you normally do before you give an injection? You take a little alcohol swab, or cotton with alcohol, and you sterilize the spot, to make sure there shouldn't be an infection. So Zag did Sitz Eliezer, you're allowed to do that even on Shabbos. You can take a wet cotton, wet with alcohol, even though if you do that, you're squeezing out the alcohol, squeezing it out, it's Malacha D'Oraisa. So Sitz Eliezer, no, it's Ein Shvicha L'Gufa because it's going L'Ibud. It's just, the stuff is just dripping down, it's going to drip down his arm, or they're going to dab it up. No one's using that stuff. So Frechter Shlomo Zalman, what do you mean? But you're using it to sterilize the spot, and then it goes L'Ibud. But then he said, aha, but once I see this Magen Avraham, maybe he's right. Maybe Sitz Eliezer has a point. Just like the Magen Avraham says the milk is li'ibud, because even though it's doing something, but then it's going li'ibud. The Magen Avraham says it's shich le'gufa. Why? Maybe he means because it's even if it's doing something, but it's just doing something in the course of going li'ibud. So here too, it's the course of going li'ibud. So he says maybe. But he says, but the Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, yeah, but the Magen Avraham is very schwer. I'm defending the Sitz Eliezer based on the Magen Avraham, but that Magen Avraham, everybody jumps on him. And the Til Davis Terrace as well, because it's school year. So we don't know. So anyway, this is a debated point. Is that called Mitzvich L'Gufa? Is not called Mitzvich L'Gufa? When something that's it's going L'Ibud, you know, when you're squeezing something out, which is L'Ibud, but it's getting used in the process, is that called L'Gufa? Not L'Gufa. So it's not, definitely not good to do it without asking Yishayla. But Kapanim, so we got a little taste from Lach Shetzich L'Gufa, what it is for the parasha with Slavchad. You can share something with you at your Shabbos table with Slavchad. This one connects to the parasha. Couldn't be better. This is as good as it gets. Okay. What do you say?
No stretch.
It's as good as it gets.
Rabbi said there were two sheets. Rabbi says it was and the Tarfon says it was two.
I think it says he was. We don't know. I think he says. Yeah, I think he says. You know, if you're right. If you're right, what are you doing? If you're wrong, you're saying Lashon Hara about Slavchad. And if you're right, the Torah concealed it, who are you to reveal it? So I think I don't think anybody says a name. There's another sheet that Slavchad is one of the Mapilim, so the Apilu Lalos or Lashon Hara. But I don't think we have any other name. It just says, you know, Tarva says, I'm not sure you're right.